Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals. This week's scripture is Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, which says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine."
Yeah, and so that verse, I think we're going to do a scripture, you know, of the week every week. And I actually went to high school with this guy. His name is James Tony. He's an unbelievable dude, but it's with Tony Financial Services. Tony Financial Services is a wealth management firm that specializes in biblical wisdom and incorporates biblical responsible investments into financial planning and wealth management. They're members of the Kingdom Advisory Network, and they're just... they're good people. I can vouch for James Tony because I've known him since literally high school. But a good way to kind of learn and partner with someone that can help you grow your finances.
Yeah, the Kingdom Advisory Network, that's a solid group.
You have to get like registered. Like you have to be like...
I know some guys who are part of that. They are legit.
They're legit. Too legit to quit.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. Today we're diving into having a heart for God.
I'm excited. I'm getting a heart transplant. I'm going to fix it. Just replace it.
You need a new heart. I'm already not able to talk.
It's normal. Swing it away, baby. Let's go.
Next week, we have the Pollock Family Golf Tournament. Super exciting. Just talked to Lindsay. I mean, she's like got the whole thing organized. She's got like a folder up there and all the sponsors. And
it looks like a bomb went off in our house. Like, I mean, as it gets closer,
the signs everywhere.
As it gets closer and closer to the golf tournament every year, it looks like it's an absolute disaster. And she's like, stop inviting people over. Like, I don't want people at my house. Like, I don't want people to see this mess. And
she says you're in charge of getting the celebrity golfers. Like,
yeah,
that's your responsibility. And then she handles everything else.
Yeah. I told you, she looked at me a couple weeks ago and she was like, I don't have a single thing for the silent auction. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I haven't thought about the silent auction till now. And then the trophies, We thought about the other day. Listen.
Yeah, she said Action Awards coming through on the trophies.
Action Awards coming through big time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but like
we love those guys.
We, you know, with her circumstances this year, it's obviously understandable to everybody.
Sure, I can't believe she's able to do this.
I'm like, baby doll, nobody's going to be upset. But even I've slipped with the celebrities too. I haven't done a good job getting guys that I usually send out like a 6-month text, a 3-week text, because guys cancel last minute. I mean, I had 2 or 3 yesterday cancel. You know, like it's just, it's a part of it. It's a part of the deal that comes with it. But we'll have some great names, man. We'll have a Hall of Famer. Marcus Allen will be there, which is cool. Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer in baseball is coming. So we've got some new guys. Your boy Joe Hamilton coming again. So
love Joe Hamilton.
He was awesome.
What about Frank Coor?
Frank Coor is coming this year. Yep.
I'm requesting Frank Coor. I need somebody to get some
balls. Requested McCann last year. by the way, man, I'm just telling you, the driver has changed everything for your boy. Like, I can beat you now. 100%.
Okay, let's go.
Like, this is new level of
Are
fun.
You saying you can hit a driver now? Because last time we played, you were only hitting 3-wood.
So I got fitted at the Kingdom.
Okay.
And when I say it's like the Kingdom, the most magical thing I've ever seen. Like, they put me on the monitor, and I just swing, right? And I hit the ball with a driver, and it goes and takes that 45-degree turn to the right.
I've seen it many times.
Yes. Takes the 45-degree turn to the left. Like, incredibly crazy. And they take it, Pastor Jay, and they do some things with it.
Yeah.
And then they bring it back to me, and I swing. My same exact swing.
You're not changing your swing.
Don't change my swing at all. And it's not as far to the right. And my miss is not as far to the left. And they take it, and they mess with the shaft and do this. I played with Bowers last Friday. I hit it 348.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was my long drive. It was 348, like, in the fairway, actually. Like, he drove up and measured it with a cart. But, like, it's crazy because, you know, like, they put me on the monitor swing, and they said, okay, the heavier shaft, we usually give people a heavier shaft because it will slow the swing speed down. They're like, the heavier we give you, it's not consequential, so you swing harder. So, like, when you give me a little bit, because it's only a tiny little bit, it's not like it matters, and we're still throwing around real weights. Like, and so when I would give me a heavier ones, I would swing it harder and harder. So, like, this now, it's the same swing I've been doing, but, like, now my misses are literally left side of the fairway, right side of the fairway. And it's the same swing, but it's I'm at 130 swing speed. Like, I'm right low 130s, which is perfect. But it's been unfreaking believable. Like, yesterday, I should have done better, but I shot one over yesterday.
The day you beat me in golf, you can make a big announcement on the podcast.
I mean, it's not that hard. You're not that good.
You've never beaten me.
We've only played twice.
More than that.
We've played twice. I mean, but we do need to get back on it, though. And Wesley. I like getting Wesley out there.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. We've played twice, and then you had to quit the time you quit when Wesley and I were both beating you, and you just quit after eight holes.
First of all, I did tell you I had to leave, and don't say Wes was beating me. You might have been beating me. Wes was definitely not beating me. Wes is good at a lot of things. Golf is not one.
I think we were tied. It's hard to win when you pick up on holes.
Yeah.
Because that's not like an actual score.
What do you mean?
Like, you just quit on a couple holes. You just kind of picked up.
Well, you just get a triple.
I mean, forgot a club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His club.
I left the club back. I did have to go get it. Numb. I had to go get it. I had to drive back to another hole.
So, by the way, a lot of people have been reaching out to us from the podcast, listeners, wanting to know if you took me to the Masters this year, because I shamelessly requested you to take me to the Masters. And I sadly had to respond to people, no, I didn't get to go to the Masters.
Yeah.
But it's understandable.
I'm about to say, I get an excuse this year? Like, I mean, I 100% think.
Your wife had brain surgery.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm going to let you off the hook.
I think this year I get passed, but next year when I leave you hanging, which I will, it'll be fantastic. I'm taking Wes. Sorry, yeah.
I'm just wanting to go to the turn. I'm not even asking to play at Augusta.
So you wouldn't want to play?
I mean, I could drop anything.
Anytime.
Like if you
yeah. Anytime, any place, anywhere, Lord.
Anytime,
send me.
Anything.
Augusta National? I mean, absolutely.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that. I promise. We'll make it happen next year. That means the bad thing is that means I have to go, too. Because I think I have to go to take you. I don't want to go, though. I don't love the Masters.
Well,
I don't want to.
Just give me your tickets.
I can't do. You have to. I think I can get you in, but I have to go with you.
You got
to
go with me.
So I got to sacrifice a whole day to go spend time with you.
Maybe we can bring the wives.
Well, that would be fun.
That'd be fun. Bring another. Be more
fun
lady,
than being
first
with
lady
you.
Can bring her bird watching stuff.
No, we're not doing that crap. She's uninvited already.
No, they don't let phones in there. They don't let phones in the.
No, I love
in
that
the tournament. So yeah, that's great. That. So, I was going to ask you about the draft.
Okay.
Like you've got to be viewing this from a little bit different perspective than the rest of us.
Yeah,
like I'm not one of these like crazy draft people, but I do keep up. I kept up with who was getting drafted. But you know those people at like Lambeau Field with
that
like
dress
face,
up
face
and,
paint.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. It's what makes the sport fun though. As a player, I can tell you that
they
like
are
the,
crazy.
They're nuts. They're passionate. But nah, I enjoy the. Watching the kids get drafted, and I love the emotion because they know this is coming.
Yeah.
And still, like Will Campbell from LSU, your boy.
Oh, yeah.
Like drafted four.
Number four.
And he's still, like, he knew he was going to get picked. Now, he doesn't know where, but he knew he was going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. But the emotions, Cam Ward, like, he knew he was going to get drafted one. Like, and still the emotions. And so just, realizing that dream.
Kind of like the moment.
I mean, you've worked. Like, yeah. Dude, a lot of these kids have worked for that since they were 4 years old. 4, 5, 6 years old. Like, that's what they've wanted to do and what they've wanted to be. So it's always fun to find those stories and watch them, you know, come to life and then see them, see the emotion grab a hold of them, and then go realize that they just made their dreams come true and have an awesome opportunity to play football in the NFL.
Yeah. It's so fascinating, you know, because you got the Mel Kiper next best available, but then they just randomly go off like
on different tangents. Yeah, we saw that a bunch, which is frustrating too, because you want everybody to kind of get their moment to get their name announced. But that's the cool thing, is you get to be with your, you know, your family if you choose to, and that's a moment you'll never forget. Mm-hmm. That's celebrating.
Where were you?
I was at home. I went to New York before the draft, and then I came home for the draft. I wanted to be with mom, dad. I wanted to be with my grandparents. Like, my grandparents were a big part of my journey. So I kind of wanted
to have the camera on you and all that.
No, nope, we didn't want a camera. I mean, we did that for us. That wasn't it. Like, that was, you know, it was, I don't know. I mean, maybe it'd be different nowadays, maybe not, but like, I just wanted to be with my people and enjoy it. And honestly, all those people that help you get there, like, without them, you don't get there, you know, without them sacrificing all that time. And so really, really fun. My brother and there's just so many parts of the family that, We didn't really want more people in there. But now I might have changed my mind. I did not know that as soon as you get drafted, they fly you out. So, like, I got picked, and I'm like, sweet, now I get to relax and enjoy my family for the rest of the day. And they're like, hey, we're getting you a flight. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, you fly out, do some media, stuff like that. I was like, crap. I thought I was, like, going to hang with my family. So I didn't know that. Like, that might have changed my mind a little bit. Because I thought it was going to be like a day with the family kicking it and just kind of chilling.
Yeah, and they send you a plane, or do you fly coach?
Delta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the Bengals. That's all I'll say.
The Bengals. So Jennifer's speaking at a women's conference up near Cincinnati.
Okay.
And we're waiting on the NFL schedule to come out, because we're hoping the Bengals have a home game.
That would be dope.
So we could go.
Yeah.
So anyway,
the Bengals. I'm not sure who the Bengals are.
I may be reaching out to you.
I'm about to say, reach out.
Can you give me some tickets for the Bengals?
Could probably snatch you some tickets. Yeah, yeah. They say who day, and who so day? Your Saints say who dat.
Yeah.
So it's you can seamlessly transition when you go to the game.
Yeah, those are my two teams. Of course, the Saints have been terrible.
Speaking of the draft, did you see their offensive tackle's baby throw up when he got drafted?
Mm-mm.
They picked an offensive tackle at 9 they picked, and his baby was in the mom's arms right next to him. And as soon as he got picked, he was like, threw up on camera. I don't know if that's an indication of what's to come, but, you know, not a great start.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Everybody was happy with the Falcons this year.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Hey, so you want to dive in on some?
What you got for today, man?
Biblical content.
I mean, yeah, I'm ready. Like, I got a couple pieces of paper in front of me right here.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but I feel like I'm better when you got your stacks of paper to keep us organized. Well, I got some.
You got some notes.
Yeah, I got some stuff.
Sermon notes over there. Yeah. So I want to talk today about a heart for God. Having a heart for God. I love David, a David after man's own
heart. Thank
you,
I appreciate that.
Have you seen The House of David? Have you
I've seen a little bit of it, but I've heard about it several times. Have you watched it?
I watched the whole first season.
Solid.
I'm like, it's now...
Scripture-based, or is it kind of like The Chosen where it's got some leeway?
It's got some leeway.
Okay.
But it's fun. It's good leeway.
You know, it's interesting about that. Like, I'm going to be... Like, back in the day, when you told me that it had leeway, it would have ticked me off. Like, and I'm talking about like Mel Gibson. What was the movie?
The Passion. Yeah.
Like, I don't like when you don't have everything the same, because I want to learn it the same way. Mm-hmm. But watching The Chosen a little bit, and I know it's not the same, but there is something about seeing it and being brought to life that is really magical. Like, yeah. I mean, so I would recommend like people watching that stuff, man. I watch all kinds of different things, documentaries on Netflix and stuff that bring stuff to life when they go to different places and stuff. And I think it's pretty cool. So
yeah,
I'm glad you're supporting. If you're supporting it, I feel like it should be good.
The House of David, it's super cool. Now, they do have some leeway, and there's a lot of backstory, but they really go deep into King Saul and his family and David's family and the real backstory there. But it's pretty awesome. There's so much about the giants in the land, the onyx. And I didn't realize it, but now that I do the Bible, I read through the Bible in a year. And in my Bible reading, it keeps coming up over and over again, the onyx.
Isn't it amazing how, like, you hear somebody talk about something, and then all of a sudden you read your Bible and you're like, dang.
I never noticed the Bible.
Like Simon of Cyrene, Mark 15:21 that you pointed out, carrying the cross, like never even notice it. Like really. Yeah. And then you hear about it and you're like, ooh, I need to know more about that. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there it is, there it is, there it is. There's just so much obviously in the Bible to ingest, you know, to take in and try to learn and grow. But a lot of times you miss it. And then when it comes back, it's awesome. That's why I think it's cool to listen to other people's sermons and podcasts like that. I think it's so good because it brings some of that stuff up.
Yeah, people end up bringing up things that you never thought of before.
No.
You never thought about it that way. Not at all. And so that's
so
the
as
beauty.
A pastor, when you listen to other folks, like, okay, so for example, like as a commentator, like I don't like hearing other people's opinions on things. You know, I don't listen to a bunch of, I would rather read, you know, like the story about what's going on and then stay away from people's quotes and stay away from people's opinions because I want to have my own. Like as a pastor, do you do that or is it okay because it's difference of views?
I like to study the Bible for myself and really pray about it, see what the Holy Spirit's teaching me before I read another commentary, before I read a study Bible.
Yeah.
I want to get my own view of it before I see what everybody else has to say about it. So this past Sunday, one of the passages I was looking at was John chapter 3, which was the story of Nicodemus. Jesus telling Nicodemus that you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And this was just a little side note, but he says you have to be born of water
and spirit.
And the spirit.
Yep.
And so I was sharing that born of water means born of the flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to the spirit. And so, you know, born physically, you're born of water. The water breaks, right? The water breaks and the baby's born. Well, apparently in small groups, a lot of our small groups discuss the sermon. They kind of dissect it and what they got out of it.
Yeah, a lot of times we do too, and we talk about how bad it is sometimes.
That's what other people are telling me too. Unfortunately, critiquing my sermons, but a lot of people had read commentaries that said the born of the water was talking about baptism and or the cleansing, purification water, and so there's debate there. But I like to study it for myself, see what God's telling me. Because I think if you go read the commentaries first, or you hear other people's opinion first, it might taint your perspective on something.
Well,
which I guess that would be you want to have your own opinion about a particular athlete before you hear somebody else's opinion.
And it's not even like it's not taint, but it's like what do I see? What am I going through? How does this speak to my life? Because I do think. What I've learned about reading the Bible, and I think everybody who's listening to this has probably learned, like, man, different things hit you at different times in your life in a different way. And so I'm not at the same place where the person who wrote the commentary is in life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
sure. Yeah.
I'm where Davey's at. Like, and this is where I'm reading. And so, like, I kind of want to get what I want to get out of it. Now, listen, I'd be stupid not to read commentary. And I think it's a miss if you don't, because they're so much wiser than you. Like, you know, a lot of these people that study, that write these commentaries, that's what they did for 4 years in college. They just studied the book of John. You know what I'm saying? Like
more than 4 years.
But I'm saying, like, that's all they did.
Yeah.
So you'd be a fool not to use their wisdom, but I do kind of want to get out of it what I can get out of it. And listen, a lot of times that's nothing. A lot of times I'll read, I'll be like, okay, what did I read? You know, I didn't get anything out of that. And I'm just being honest. Like I will. And then I'll be like, all right, I read a commentary or a different version. A lot of times will kick in a different gear for me just to be able to switch it from NIV to something else. You know, like the commentary, you know, the message.
Right.
Like I know it's different and it's a paraphrase, but it's also used in a lot of times in words that I kind of understand better. Mm-hmm. So like if you're someone out there reading your Bible and you do get frustrated, like that is completely normal. I do. You know, try changing up the versions that you listen to, and then try the Message, which is cool because it's a paraphrase and it's a younger vernacular for sure.
Yeah. I love reading it in different translations because words are translated differently, and so something may speak to you differently. I also like to read the commentaries to see what the scholars are saying just to confirm that I'm not like off base. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't have some crazy idea. Is someone else interpreting this the same way that I'm interpreting it? And so I love where Jesus says you have to be born again. And we have a lot of brand new Christians. We just baptized 52 people on Easter at Greystone.
It's pretty fantastic. That's awesome.
So the message was for everybody Sunday, but specifically for a brand new Christian. But therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. And so God's given us a new heart. It says in Ezekiel 36:26 that I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I think a lot of people think that becoming a Christian is bettering themselves, like becoming a better version of the old self. But it's you're born again. Like you're starting over. You have a new heart. It's not like God's making your old heart better. He's taking your heart of stone and he's giving you a heart of flesh. He's giving you a new heart.
And this fooled Nicodemus too. He's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, like
how can you go back in your mother's womb again? Yeah. Like, so it was definitely, and again, Nicodemus was a teacher, mm-hmm. right? Like Nicodemus was a very respected, renowned guy, and he's coming to Jesus. Like he's seeking out Jesus and asking questions to Jesus. So like, just let that sink in a little bit about like, that wouldn't have been normal.
Well, Jesus' teaching was blowing people away.
Blowing him away.
Because he was speaking with authority, but he was saying things that they had never heard before.
Yeah.
And so, like at the Sermon on the Mount, he goes and he says, you know, you've heard it said, and he would quote an Old Testament, like you said, don't murder. You know, he said, I'm saying don't even get angry at somebody. Mm-hmm. He said, don't commit adultery. I'm saying if you look at a woman lustfully,
you committed adultery.
Like Jesus, I mean, his teaching was so different than they were used to.
Yeah, but it does get back to the, you know, what you said though, is like, you know, understanding that, which also means that if you are somebody that's done some really stupid things, it don't matter how stupid it is. It don't matter what you did. There's nothing that God can't take and transform. Mm. And there's nothing that he can't take and use. And it's been fun to watch so many people with, you know, crazy testimonies. You're not one of those people. I'm not really one of those people, but like those crazy testimonies speak to people that have gone through some crazy stuff and seen some crazy stuff. And so everyone is a new creation. Old things have gone. Like they're past. They're gone. They're not here anymore. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It's still going to be a process of you learning how to live in this new and with a new heart. Like it's still new. Like it's still new. And I'll tell you this, but the lungs and everything else around is still old, and you'll still have some of that stuff laying around and some of that stuff that's going to come into your mind and into your brain that you're going to be like, seriously, how did that come out? Like I got a new heart. Why is that still in there? Like the good thing is when you do feel that and you're like, seriously, why is that there? That means you're different, because in the past you weren't worrying about why was that there.
Yeah, you get the Holy Spirit's convicting.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're that person that goes, man, I keep screwing up. Like, you've accepted Christ, but I keep screwing up. I keep screwing up. This stinks. I'm so mad. I'm so pissed. I'm like, good. That's good.
Yeah.
Like, if you're feeling convicted, that's winning. Like, that's a good thing. Now we're going to continue to fight and continue to work and continue to grow. And you don't know how long you'll be dealing with that. Sometimes it's longer than you want to, but.
Yeah, I think conviction is a sign of salvation. Like it's a characteristic that you've been saved. Because if you're still sinning and you're not being convicted by it, then maybe you're not saved.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So I think convictions. So what do you do when you are convicted? Like I was thinking about the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7. He says, why do I do the things I don't want to do and not do the things that I do want to do? And I think we all relate to the Apostle Paul that we have this struggle and we get frustrated and we get upset with ourselves. I mean, what do you do when you mess up?
I go to God's word. Like when I'm struggling with fear, when I'm struggling with anxiety, things I can't control, doubt, whatever, like I'm literally going to go to God's word. And I'm like, God doesn't give me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love of a sound mind. Like
replacing the whatever lie you're believing with
the truth,
with the truth of God's word.
100%. Like that. Yeah. And it changes everything. With Lindsay's stuff we've been going through, man, like just You can get down. You can get, you know, you just get, you get frustrated. It's, I've been doing this. I want to get better. I want to go this. I want to do this. And it's like, hold up, bro.
Do you have certain verses?
100%. I got them all in my mirror. And yeah. I couldn't even tell you what they all are. But like, I had them in one spot and it wasn't good enough. Like it wasn't good enough. So I had to start putting them in different spots and my nightstand, my lamp by the bed, like on the mirror in the bathroom. Like I just started putting them all over the place.
Post-it notes.
Yeah. And even some stuff that aren't scripture, but like, I remember I wrote down like, you're built for this. Like your God is bigger than these problems. And He's going to carry you through this like He's carried you through everything. And that's not an exact scripture. I mean, we could get something very similar. But just writing down stuff like that, obviously the be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. The world will give you tribulation, but I'm not going to. I think
peace.
I give you peace. So a bunch of those that I just will go by and read and read and read and read. And you put that, I think you put that in over and over and over again, man. You put that in your heart and then it comes out of your mouth, right? Like it's going to continue to overflow.
Well, let's go a little deeper in it. I like the direction that this just went with. When you're going through a difficult time, what should you do? I think one is go to scripture. I was thinking you might reach out to a friend. Like, yeah. I know there's been some times you've reached out to me or I've reached out to you. Hey, I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? And one of the most powerful things, we've had thousands and thousands of people telling us that they were praying for Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
during the her surgery and her recovery. I mean, people I don't even know are coming up to me telling me they're praying for Lindsay. Like I didn't even know they knew me, but they know.
Man,
you know what I mean? Like, and the people, have you had people come up to you or has Lindsay?
Oh man,
people,
yeah. Like me both, but like I spoke in, you know, Mississippi and Kentucky this past week. And just the amount of people that is, we've been praying for Lindsay. Like it's humbling. And by the way, you feel it. Mm-hmm. Like we feel it. We know it's making a difference. We can feel it every day. And
I mean, she's doing incredible.
She's doing great. But like, and then I had two people come up that had the exact same thing and they had their scars.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought that was so cool. Cause it's just a reminder. Like we all got our scars. Mm-hmm. Like in some of them you can see.
Yeah.
But in some of them you can't, right?
So like she has a little scar, right? I was noticing.
Oh, right there. Yeah. And listen, it goes right where her part is. So it's a good spot to have it. Yeah. But like, it's from ear to ear almost. Mm. I mean, it's a big cut, you know? And like, but to meet people that have been through it, and that are, but I think here's to me what happens. I think when you take your problems and the things that are going on, and I think when they're inside of you, it stays in a different spot. It's a different voice. I think when you take your problems and your cares and the things you're really struggling with, I think when you bring it to the light, I think that's where God's like, oh yeah. And God works. Like, but when you keep it in the darkness, man, it just dwells, it stews, it gets bigger. But when you can just share it with one of your buddies. And again, I think it's the right person, right? Mm, the older you get, the more you realize, like I need to go to the right people.
You have a circle of trust.
When you're younger, you'll talk to people about a lot of different things. But as you get older, you're like, that's my person. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to call that person. Mm-hmm. Like with Jeff, I'm going to call you 100%. You've walked through it. Mm-hmm. Like with the brain tumor, there's a dude named Reese that I met in the hospital that prayed for us. Like if I have questions, man, I'm hitting him up and his wife's name is Lindsay, which is crazy. Yeah. But like,
we talked about him a couple weeks ago.
I'm texting him back and forth, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so just to have people that are grounded, that are in God's word, that are equally yoked, that are like-minded, because again, you also got those people that'll stoke up the flames and make it more heated. You got those people that want to share things with people to share things like, and just, that's just the way it is. And that's okay. But like, those aren't the people I'm going to. Like I'm going to somebody that I know is rooted in Christ, rooted in the word of God and going to give me that kind of an answer, not a feel good answer, not what I want to hear, but like, it might be what I don't want to hear. And I take a lot of pride in that as a friend. Like I'm going to tell you something you probably don't want to hear.
But I love that about you.
I mean,
speaking the truth in love. Because if you don't, I hear people say all the time, well, if you love them, you wouldn't say that. But it's like, no, if you love them, you will say that. It is loving to speak the truth. Well, I think even going further into what you're saying is the importance of small group. Because dude, I think
so huge.
Like when you're really struggling, yeah, you can text people and call people. But then when you show up at small group and you're just honest with people, I love in small group because people can shoot you straight. Like, hey, you're thinking wrongly about this. Like you know, and then they can speak truth. They can speak scripture. They can pray over you. Yep. I mean, I think to your point of not staying in the darkness, bringing something into the light, but also you not isolating yourself.
Yeah.
So many people are like, well, I'm going through this. I don't want anybody to know about this. Like, no, that's the wrong. You don't want to isolate yourself because it's when you're isolated, that's where it's like the lion attacking the gazelle that's isolated.
That's
like
when you're weakest.
The enemy's going to attack you. You got to stay in fellowship and come to church.
Yep.
Come to worship. That was another thing I was thinking about is going through a difficult time or really struggling with something. I like to put on worship music.
I like
to listen to worship music. Do you do that too? Like let's.
I think
let's just put the right truth into it. And we're going to be interviewing Mac Powell next week.
Yep.
On the podcast, which I can't wait to ask him some of these questions about worship. But I know you love worship.
It's the best. I mean, it's just the. Here's another thing too. A lot of times I don't know what to say. But when you let a worship song come on, a true worship song, mm-hmm. it's like, and again, most of those are scripture. Most of those are.
Yeah, those are the best ones.
Well, when you start reading the Bible, you're like, oh, that's a Chris Tomlin song. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's a Mac Powell song. Like, yeah. I think you see that a good bit. But I think it's just, like, a lot of times I use that as my prayer. Like, whatever, like, so many, I have so many songs on the prayer list and they're on the current Christian list in my phone. And it's, all those songs are prayers, basically. Like, mm-hmm. and I end up singing them all day long.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And I end up like using them as that.
You're putting truth into your mind. You're putting truth into your spirit. And it gets in your subconscious.
100%.
So if you're putting the wrong stuff in, the negative, like,
I don't like
being around negative people, but even negative, there's some music that's negative and just hardcore.
Well, here's an example of that. An easy example of that. If you are around people that curse, you will curse. Like, you will naturally start to get, like, the more you hear it, my coach has cursed at me all the time, right? Like, all the time. I cursed. In the locker room, I heard cursing. Like, I didn't do it a lot, but I did it way more than I wanted to. And it was just, it naturally just fell out because I was hearing so much of it. Like, so what are you hearing over and over and over again? And, dude, I don't even listen to music, secular music anymore. And it's not a disrespect to anybody, but, like, I've got praise and worship music on 24/7. If I get in the car, it's on. Like, if I'm down, I got a playlist that I know exactly what I'm going to. Mm-hmm. I know what the first song is on my playlist.
Yeah.
Like, and so it does change your heart and your posture. I think it changes your posture and, like, it changes the things around you. And there's so many songs, man, that are anthems for people. Mm-hmm. Like, they are straight anthems for their lives. Like, they remember going through a season and they remember what that song did for them. Like, that's the power of praise and worship. Like, that is the, like, how do you not know about Jody? Like, that's Jody's song, right? Like, that's her song that you know about. Like, Goodness of God is now Lindsay's song. Yeah. Like, that's so our song.
Gratitude is Jody's song. Goodness of God.
Oh, yeah.
And if we line those songs up back to back at church, we're going to have a weeping congregation.
Unbelievable. we will all be crying for sure.
Yeah, I think this kind of goes back to why do you do the things you don't want to do and not do the things you do want to do? What you feed grows. What's the saying? Like, you want to feed the spirit.
Yeah.
And feed, so the word and worship and all the positive things. You have a new heart, so you don't want to feed the flesh. You want to feed the spirit, the new heart, and just keep growing stronger and deeper in your faith in Jesus Christ.